Check, check.
Who made roll?
Seven.
There's actually 15 members.
Okay. Calling this meeting to order. This is the Citizens Advisory Committee for Jury Selection. Friday, August 21st, 2010, 5:30 p.m. We are at the Brookings Administrative Center in the Jennifer K. Putnam Meeting Room. And we can do a roll call, starting to my right.
Roger Holland.
Tom DeFantis.
Clive Zweibel.
Joan Miller.
Barbara Kessel.
Randy Rosenbaum.
And Aaron Ammons. So if everyone's had a chance to look at the agenda, we have a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All right, moved by Mr. DeFantis and second by Mr. Weigel. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Ayes have it. Let's see. Approval of the minutes from last meeting. Mr. Weigel just handed us those minutes. And I guess we could take a second to read through them. We have a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Holland.
Second.
Second by Judge DeFantis. It appears as though some people are still reading. We give them another minute or so. I was at a funeral once where the pastor took a minute, gave it, part of the order was to read the obituary. And for some reason, he didn't think people were reading. He said, well, we're going to move on since ain't nobody reading the obituary anyway. I was like, wow.
Wow. He must have had some other appointment.
I said, oh, okay. So when I noticed that nobody seconded, I figured I think people were a little more time to read.
Thank you, Judge, for doing this about the legislation
about
for
the
redirecting. I mean, you try.
Yeah.
So, Ms. Putman, you have come in at the right time if there's a concern about the minutes.
You know, the people who serve as the minute takers, I mean, nobody expects like a court quality transcript. But I thought I'd done a pretty good job of preparing the minutes. And Pius likes it when I can fit it on one page.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked at, oh, here's a whole other page of notes that I omitted from the prepared. All of the things on this page didn't get in the minutes.
Okay.
I would move to defer.
Move to defer.
But could I just tell you what I omitted? And then, because it's important for the people who are here. One of the things that I omitted from the minutes were a discussion that we had. It was at the urging of Patrick Thompson that we produce a videotape, a show, maybe for public access TV. And Roger suggested that to help overcome folks' intimidation about what happens with a juror, we could produce a day in the life of a juror style video. And, you know, for people who've never seen the inside of the courtroom, it could show a jury deliberating. Is that a no-no?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it could show a jury deliberation room.
Mm-hmm.
It could show a jury. It could, Judge DeFantis suggested collecting enough footage of varied scenes, like from the orientation video, from jurors talking about their own experience.
You could have a mock jury.
Trial. From one of our committee meetings, like that. So, We talked about making a video, and I failed to include that in the minutes. And I failed to include that Roger Holland suggested that we make a presentation of our work to the Justice and Social Services Committee. We did that. Okay, but that's what
so those would be corrections. So therefore, we could vote on one.
That's what I left
out. I retract my refer.
Okay. So that's what was left? That's all that was left out?
Well, that's quite a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying I'm where you've done.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Modify when we go to the
chapter. So with the modifications to the minutes, do we still have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll consider hers a friendly amendment to modify the, to approve them as modified.
Okay. So we have a friendly amendment for the modification of the minutes by Roger Holland. A second. By Judge DeFantis. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. So we have the group of minutes. Any announcements and communications? Certainly, I think it's important for folks to know that pending a confirmation from Jim Turk.
Actually, we have the confirmation.
We have the confirmation, so we are set to go. Judge DeFantis and myself will be on the Jim Turpin show September 22nd. And we will be on at 10 a.m.
Right. From 10 to 11.
10 to 11. And we will be discussing the work that we've been doing with this wonderful, wonderful committee. And I'll be saying very little.
About anything else. You won't let callers get you down on a track of talking about something other than...
Oh, no. I'm not.
I shall not call in about Usher.
We haven't bothered you with that for a long time, have we?
We
need to take myself out of it. Jamie got to bother you. I have nothing to do with this.
Uh-huh. I'm lost on this one.
Yeah. I'll tell you later.
Yes.
Yeah. Young public defender.
Yeah, and apparently her boss.
So,
it's going to be Ammons and DeFantis,
yes,
or
ma'am.
Ammons and Holland?
Ammons and DeFantis.
Okay. You guys are quite a... You've got the road show down.
They do.
Okay.
And knowing that, although I haven't done Pedigree Thoughts in years, but if this works out well, he's going to want to have us come back later on, mm-hmm. which I think is fine.
Yeah, I think that's great.
When was the last time you were on that?
Well, no, state's attorney is over 15 years ago. I used to be on it, frequently, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. It certainly would be a change for me. So it's going to be. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
They have quite a call-in crowd. I listen to it often. I'm a sports fan.
So September 22nd from 10 a.m., pending for your thoughts, Judge DeFantis. I was going to say Judge Ammons. That's interesting. So myself and Judge DeFantis. So we wanted to make sure that announcement was clear.
I have a report. I communicated with Steve Beckett just today. And yes, considering the need of statistician Adam Martinsik to withdraw from the Court Watch project, the publication of the most recent data and your research from last academic year's Court Watching, that has been put on hold, but they have enlisted the Survey Research Lab. We don't have a date for the publication, but that research will be analyzed and reported.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other announcements and communications? Okay. Public participation. Well, as a matter of fact, I did reach out to a gentleman, Dave P., who works at the City of Champaign. He also does some work at the Independent Media Center. And I did reach out to him and ask him if he would be interested in videotaping our meetings. This was about two or three weeks ago. I spoke to him about it. He agreed. He said he would love to do it. And then for the past two or three days, I haven't been able to contact him. Left messages and haven't received anything back because I was hoping he would be here today, actually. So I will continue to follow up with that. And then I guess I could have waited for this, but since there's no public participation here, we can move. I can blend this announcement with the new business. Because, Pius, I wanted to know if it was possible to ask someone or one of these staff members who videotapes the county board meetings to come in and do something.
Well, it's handled through the clerk's office. I'm not sure. I mean, the clerk only videotapes meetings of the county board and other committees, so I really don't know.
Is there anything that says they can't do committee meetings?
No, I don't think so. It's just a matter of time.
I mean, does the committee of the whole? I mean, they were there the night.
Yeah, right.
The only reason they do the committee of the whole is because instead of having six meetings, we have two, so it's a matter of much less time.
Right.
So I think that, but if we're still on committee, I suspect it would not be videotaped. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we're not, I don't think we want every meeting, we don't need every meeting videotaped. I think we would probably want at least a few meetings taped to get a sort of variety.
You just want a sampling?
Yeah, I mean, just to have something, if we get some documentation going, I don't think we're asking them to actually put together a documentary.
Yeah, well,
but if we could videotape it and have it archived.
That'd be easier to find somebody else to do it than that. Let me look into it.
Okay. Okay. All right, and is there any other new business that's not on here? Jenny, I think you wanted to have some discussion about the U.S. Postal Service, something that you and Roger communicated. I didn't put it on because I thought Roger answered the question, but I think it could be shared with the group briefly.
Jenny asked me whether or not, based on the article that was given to us by Pius about what they do in Wisconsin, whether or not we would benefit from using an interface with the U.S. Postal Service National Change of Address Database. I communicated with Jenny that when we get our data from the jury pool, our vendor, when we send him the information, before it ever gets entered into our system, it is filtered through that change of address database. So anybody who's changed their address during that time will have their date, their information automatically changed in our system. It's not something that is continuous. In other words, it's done only at the time when we originally get the data, but we pay a little bit extra to have that done to make sure we get as much as accurate information as we can.
But it's wonderful. And to be as specific and clear as possible, how often is that done?
We get the jury wheel once a year. And it's not actually a wheel anymore. It's basically some discs that have the jury data on there. And we send the whole package of data to, and actually it goes directly from the Secretary of State to our vendor down in Tyler, Texas. And they then arrange to have it filtered through the change of address database, which costs a few hundred dollars every year that we do it. So we have as best information as we can get it.
Okay. Denny, do you feel like your question was answered?
I do, and I'm so pleased that we're on top of it there. And Pius, thank you for sending this. It's good to know about.
I had a question. If we update, or the jury wheel goes out once a year, can a person be called twice in that year?
No. You can only serve on a jury. You only serve once a year at the most. Actually, I think it's once a year. The
once
most
year,
you're excused if there's any further. And once you've been served, you're taken out of the pool until the next wheel comes out.
So you could be called in two different calendar years. That would be within a 12-month period.
Correct. Yeah. Yes, correct.
But if it's within a 12-month period, you get an excuse.
You get excused, yeah.
Okay. But if someone comes in and says, I'm not feeling well, and they come to the jury commissioner, say, I've got a medical problem, could you let me serve some other month?
Yes.
So they take you out that month. Do you go back in that same wheel and could be called within the 12-month period, or are you taken out of that wheel and put back in at the next 12-month period?
No, I mean, if you're taken out at a given time, you are then put in the next time. So in other words, if you say, I can't serve, I'm a teacher. So between, you know, I can't serve except maybe in the summer, we then set you over to a specific time period for you to actually go in, because there's actually a spot on the questionnaire asking you which months will be better for you if you can't serve at the given time.
Is it within that same 12-month period, or does it have to?
No, it can actually roll over from one period to the next. The date is there.
Okay. Is everyone clear on that? Okay. Yes, sir?
Patrick and I had a meeting today about something else, but one of the things we were discussing and we've talked about here is getting the ministers involved in what it is that we do, and at some point, although we're talking about this afternoon, although 5:30 on a Friday afternoon might not be conducive to a lot of ministers to come to a meeting, but maybe we could sort of invite ourselves or a representative group to one of their meetings, explain what it is that we're doing, and then eventually, if we do get a product, a video, a disc, or something, that we can then share it with them. But
you know, there is an alliance of Black ministers or something like that.
Ministerial alliance.
Ministerial alliance, yeah.
So tell me more. We've talked about this round and round, and I've touched base with them once before at another meeting when I went to their meeting and shared with them that at some point we would ask their involvement.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we have concretely said exactly what it is that we want or we feel that they would be effective in helping us communicate or how they would be effective in helping us communicate. And we've touched on it, but I feel like we want to, if we want to sort of iron out specifically what it is that we want from them, I think that would be good. And if we don't want to do that tonight, then we can do it, you know, at the next meeting. But I think we should spend some time, if folks would spend some time thinking about it,
mm-hmm.
and see exactly what it is they feel like it could do, we can look, we can go over that at the next meeting.
Yeah.
Can I jump in?
Did you pay your fines yet for being late?
Yeah, you and Jenny have to, there's some sort of penalty
put
in place while you were gone. I'm sorry.
I got a wife and four kids, so you need to get away all the time.
I understand.
I'll jump in the information, and as we've been meeting, I think what's been even been becoming more important to me, and what I can possibly try to start working on, because it's been really, really been something that I has just been constantly going through my mind, is how are we going to the younger population, 18 to maybe 30, 35. How are we going to get them to understand the importance of being involved in the jury pool, the jury system, their responsibilities, what's expected of them, how to conduct themselves, what's appropriate, clothing wear. You know, those are things that I think, especially, you know, the population that I work with, that I see that will become a problem if not addressed, or not them being involved in or having a platform, something where we are communicating to the pastors, because they obviously, you know, not all, now, you know, like I know that not all the pastors are part of the Minister Alliance. There's a lot of them that's not part of the Minister Alliance, but the big, you know, the big churches like Church of Living God, church I go belong to, Salem, Canaan, Mount Olive, some of the other churches. I would like if we could get something to the pastors, because they know this congregation. As well, they had those kids, the kids come in there in that age population, and having that discussion with them. But I think they need to assimilate that information. You know, we need to find, you know, involve them some kind of way where they're assimilating that information to the congregation about what's expected and how that they should be involved. That's important, because if you don't get that across to them, then there's going to be that need. There's going to be that with them coming in. Or I mean, we got the fact that the questionnaire. That's one thing. I mean, are they getting them? Are they filling them out? Do they just throw them away? Is it going to them? I mean, that's one thing. But I think for the area that I'm interested in is how do you continue to educate them about their responsibilities. So I think that's very, very important to get that out, get that message out to them, them being involved, them getting, and how we do that. You know, how do we get that information out to them? Is it videotape? Is it through the pastor? Is it through the media? But surely, one of the ideas I thought would pastors would be the perfect, you know, to get that message out there, if they would be willing to do it during their ceremony.
Okay. Anybody else? So So we can I think we can kick this around and get some real specific stuff. Folks, think about it. And when we come back at the meeting in September, we can say that that'll be one of the agenda items, that we get some feedback and see exactly what we feel like can be done there. Feedback from the presentation to the county board. I really want to hear this because I wasn't there, and I want to know how it went and what people thought.
Judge DeFonis, Roger Holland, and I were there.
Patrick,
of course.
So talk, somebody, come on, Virginia, how it was.
Patrick read the text of his PSA, but unfortunately I presented him with the wrong script.
It still sounded great.
And then Patrick remained at the podium and spoke about the significance to him personally of being a part of this group.
And I bet you Big Jay was crying in the back, huh? Jay from the county board?
Stan James.
Was it James? John Jay.
Oh, John Jay.
I don't think I saw too many tears as a matter of fact. I can't say that too many county board members cared much, except, of course, Steve Beckett would care, and Tom Betts, an attorney, would care. Mm-hmm. And
they read his poem.
Right, and in your absence, Claire Kirkcape did as good a job she could of mm-hmm. interpreting, and now we know it has a title, My Trials, mm-hmm. which is a very fitting title. And she read her piece called Represent. I feel bad that no one from WILL Radio was able to be present, because I thought these spoken arts, they were made to be recorded. They were made to be for inclusion on a radio show, but they were doing something else that night.
Okay.
And also, we gave the text of My Trial, Relate, and the text of one of Patrick's PSAs to Tom Kasich. And I was hoping I'd see it in the story the next day or in his Sunday piece, but I think we got moved aside with some other juicy news in the state.
Yeah.
Well, not just county board stuff, but Blagojevich trial. I mean, we became rather unimportant. But the county board members heard.
The county board seemed very happy that I only spoke for about 5 seconds and Judge DeFonis didn't speak at all, which seemed to make people, you know.
Make them feel better.
Yeah, that was good.
You know, as a matter of fact, it seemed like the two attorneys on the board wanted to pick a fight with you.
Like they always do.
Yeah, well, see, I can't. I mean, I don't have the legal background. I don't know the things to...
Oh, you say you would, but...
Well, no, but I mean, they rose to the occasion. They proved that they have their Juris Doctor.
Mm-hmm. Pius, you have something you want to know?
Well, I was just going to mention to Jen that sometimes IRL reporters don't show up, but they listen to the tape of the show and they have a newscast off of that, so they could do something sometimes.
Sure. And they've got the text of those three pieces of our writing.
And as far as this committee... and the maintaining of this committee, it was important to share some of the information with the county board, because the full board has to vote to keep this committee together. Is that, or is it out of the Justice Committee, Pius?
I'm sorry?
In order for this committee to stay together, is that something that the Justice Committee puts together, or is it a committee of the whole has to vote to for this committee to stay in town?
Well, it actually would have to be... the county board cannot bind the next county board to continue, but so I really actually, what I would go suggest actually in December sometime, whether it's at the organizational meeting or maybe at the first county board meeting, that chair should just have a motion that he accepts all previous appointments that carry over into that time period, that are appointments that are created from the county board itself. Like NPD, once all those else are covered by statutes, you don't worry about that. But things like this, redistricting commission would be another example. So unless there's action against it, I'd have a motion to continue, a resolution to continue them all.
Okay. Patrick.
I won't go back and I want to add something I forgot. Also, do we think that we would like to, how do we survey, how do we institute a survey to see who has filled out a questionnaire before, have they ever seen one? Had they ever filled out a questionnaire? Have they ever seen the questionnaire? Have they or don't know? Is that something that we want to involve in the churches? That will make Boys and Girls Club, but you know, if they are having the 18, the high school 18 and older, maybe the churches, adult ed. And maybe that's something maybe we could put into the churches and maybe have them sign, have them, you know, maybe they can check mark something, don't know, never seen one, so that we can kind of, I don't know, I mean, that's just a, you know, idea I thought, because.
I think it's a good idea, you know, to try to familiarize people with it.
Well, one of the things, although we're going to use next meeting to do more specifics, but at the county board meeting, Ms. Coward asked for a sample questionnaire for the Democrat Day. That's right. Anyway, we got her sample questionnaire, sample written across, and that might be one of the things that we give to the ministers. And mm-hmm. Okay, this is what it looks like. Mm-hmm. Something as simple as that. I don't know about a survey, but I mean.
Well, certainly, the survey is a little more questionable, too, because how do you disseminate that? But certainly, I think the Boys and Girls Club, with them focusing now on the older population, adult ed, places that you mentioned, just going by and having a sort of workshop with them on it. And I know it would be a little more difficult to get you there, but I think certainly I could be available during the day. And we could set up something where we have some sort of workshops at several different locations like that.
We could be there, couldn't we?
Sure we could.
So we have this to work with. But I have a pretty good working relationship with Dr. Adcock to maybe set something up with Adult Ed and Andre Aronson. And okay. Then once we get something put together, then I think it would be better for us to approach the ministers, because it's so many more of him.
But I'm happy to help in any way I can.
Okay. All right. All right. Yes.
I wanted to go back to one more thing from the presentation to the county board. I asked, and I didn't get any feedback at all. What would they think about including the courts and the jury system in these promotional videos that are supposed to be, well, if they're being made, that they made right now? Is it at all fitting, do you think?
Is that something we're proud of?
Yeah.
That
citizens are involved in educating their neighbors about what it means to accept the responsibility to be one of those 12 men and women who make our courts the envy of the world.
I did get a phone call from Kat Bork, who is apparently coordinating some of the filming. They are going to be in the courthouse next week to do the filming of the Lincoln exhibit that we have in the courthouse.
So should I wear makeup all next week?
And the stilts. Don't forget the stilts. And the big hat. So I don't know whether they intended to expand that other than just the shots of the Lincoln exhibit, but I do know that they're going to be there one of the 3 days, because they asked about the juries, if it would impact. We don't have jury term next week, so... It shouldn't be.
Jenny, your question was, or your suggestion, I missed something.
Well, it probably wouldn't have entered my mind, except I think we all received an email from Brian Dolinar, who, when Brian saw this story about the New York film producing promotional videos about our county, to introduce our county to whoever looks at our website or various websites, what about including some images of the court system? And it was after Brian proposed it that I said, hey, that's not a bad idea. And when we spoke to the county board, I was hoping that after hearing Patrick and Claire read her and more work, that someone on the board would say, wow, that's impressive. That would be great. But I threw the line out, but I don't know if anybody took the bait.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The county board is not really involved in that, right?
Aren't we deciding how we promote ourselves?
Not really.
Oh, we let CGI communicate, but the county.
Well, so. It was supposed to be one of these deals where they'll come and do anything for us.
She gets some sharp knives to go with that.
the kitchen set. Yeah.
So that cat's probably the one that's going to be.
So your idea, Jenny, is that some shots of the court system, of the courthouse, and stuff like that are included in this video. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Apparently, there are going to be 11 one-minute videos featuring a different aspect of the county, likely themes. A welcome from, get this, former Illinois Governor Jim Edgar. We don't want to come close to anybody.
I have the distinction of being the last unindicted governor.
Comma, education, quality of life, real estate.
No, he never did. Unindicted.
Arts, museums, parks, recreation, entertainment, downtown living, business and ag, and regional health care.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. As a part of one of the few one-minute pieces.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, justice system.
Yeah, okay, but 1 minute's so short, I'm not sure how, you know, if they're going to be able to, you know what I mean? Okay. But I know that they are going to be in the courthouse next week.
Okay.
So is there any discussion about the questionnaire at Champaign-Urbana Davis? Was out there, the sample?
We got copies too, or did we not?
I got copies to Patricia Avery, who said she was going to get them to her, and I got confirmation that she did get them. Now, I don't know where they went from there.
Ms. Coward.
Lorraine Coward.
Ms. Coward, okay.
She was not at the county board meeting last night, so I didn't have a chance.
But I asked Patricia Avery if she'd get them to her, so I went ahead and had them made with the sample put across and then sent as an email attachment to Patricia Avery.
Okay,
her
so we don't know.
So we have no idea. I have no idea if they were passed out, what the response was, nothing. I just...
I didn't get there until later in the evening, and when I got there, there was some conflict that took place, and then it was they closed down about 6:30, so I didn't get around the entire park, so I don't know.
I was out there, and I did not see any sample. I didn't see... You know, it may have been because it was hot.
What day were you there?
It was hot. It was
Saturday or Sunday?
It was Saturday.
I mean, it was on Saturday when the Democratic group.
Yeah. I know Lorraine was out there.
It was hot that day.
Yeah.
So if it was over, if it was, I didn't even, so the Democrat, well, it was hot. So everybody was mainly on the shade, you know, trying to get the shades.
Right.
So if it was at the Democratic booth, then, because I didn't even get around to that unless it was hot.
You know, Patrick was talking about trying to bring the youth in, 18 to 35, and talking about the ministerial alliance and stuff, which is great. You know, if we do produce some kind of a video or something like that, I think talking to some of the high schools, I don't know what grade they have American government, but a lot of these seniors are 17, 18, they're going to be able to serve soon after that, getting them young and... so if we do have some nice video that we can pass off to these, or some of us could maybe go into some classes here and there and talk about the importance of it. I mean, I think when you get them young, you know, that's better.
And they do have to pass the Constitution, if I remember correctly, both at 8th grade and as a senior or before you graduate high school. So I think that at some point they talk about American government and three branches and the things that...
The seniors are going to be the ones who are close to 18 or could be in the pool soon. You know.
Right. Well, I mean, if they're 18 and they have a driver's license, they're in the pool.
Okay.
It's another way to reach out to them.
Yeah,
but I agree with you. That's not a bad idea to get to the high schools.
Yeah, I think we need to just touch on all those areas where we think that a, like I said, the high school, churches, you know, the community centers, and just get that the importance, so that when they and maybe getting those samples, so that they can see those samples and know what it is when it comes to the house or comes to their parents' house. Well, parents just ain't talking, you know, it's like one of those bills you just talking.
Right.
You know, you just kind of toss it, you know, and it, you know, I think it's important that we, you know, find a way to try to communicate how you know, that it's important that they get involved. So that's, you know,
the struggle or the opportunity to get them to see not just the familiarity with the survey and stuff, but I always use this example, and I would like a better example to use, but to know that one individual can stop a verdict if you were one of the jurors.
Rod Blagojevich.
Yeah, Rod Blagojevich.
Right. Okay. So how do we responsibly communicate to a population of people that we're trying to target that if you were on this jury, you have the power to do something about what you feel like is an injustice or something. And if, let's say, for instance, we have a spirit within the community where people are feeling like black males are being railroaded through the criminal justice system. Okay, this is the sentiment, and much of it is. Then, if you were a part of this jury, and you felt like this individual was not represented fairly, or whatever the situation was, you have the power as a juror to stop that person from at that point being sentenced to the Department of Corrections, because you could hold up, you could. Now, so that's what I'm asking you all, how do we deliver the power of the citizenship without saying, oh, you get to go and do some corrupt behavior, you know? So, I mean, but I think that's an illustration that relates to an individual or this particular population, folks who are saying that, you know, my cousin or my uncle or whoever got a raw deal or whatever the situation may be. Do you know that you have the power to impact some of these decisions? How do you say that in a responsible way? Patrick was first and then I think.
Well, in our distant criminal law plan, if they believe that they're not getting a fair, if I'm on the jury and I think this man is not getting a fair representation from, I don't know if that's enough for me to say I should find this person not guilty.
Right, right.
But I believe that I do believe that if they're on the jury and they believe that the prosecutor or that the prosecutor has not put on enough evidence to have me believe that this person is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, then I have a duty or right to say not guilty.
Now, let me be clear about what my... Because I wasn't saying why you were on the jury. That's not what I'm speaking to. I'm saying that if my overall sentiment about the criminal justice system is a particular way, and what I want to say is that instead of me blaming Judge DeFines and the state's attorney or the public defender's office or whining and complaining about how we got raw deals, one of the ways for us to be engaged positively and scientifically, lawfully, is to be jurors and to communicate what the power and responsibility and duty of a juror is. I'm just trying to think of how I can make it relate to the folks that we're trying to talk to. That's what I'm getting at.
Go ahead. If, let's say for example, that someone gets on the jury and doesn't believe in the system or feel like, hey, I'm here to get my friend off or my brother or sister's been railroaded or whatever the case may be. That is, you know, for me, and because I've thought about that, you know, you're going to have, you know, somebody can easily have that type of perception when they come into it. So if they're sitting on the jury and that person is being charged with, you know, it could be drugs, whatever the case may be, then they have a responsibility and an obligation. If they believe that the evidence is that he's guilty or he's not guilty, then that's what they need to be
considered. Right.
Because if we have to take it a little further with them and say, okay, just say if you're on there and you feel that and you know that he's guilty, and you decide to vote not guilty based on all this, then what happens if he sells something to your family member or your cousin or hurts one of your relatives? Then you have that on your conscience, because that could easily happen, you know, by you saying not guilty and knowing that he's guilty. So we have to, you know, because, you know, and as being, you know, and as, you know, me, having a passion for this, you know, it could easily, we could easily go down there and look at that and say, hey, I'm here for, because I'm going to make sure I'm going to get people off. But we have to be able to communicate that, Aaron, as two people that's been involved, hey, that person may sell to your brother, may sell to your cousin, may harm your relative, you know, anything. You know, you don't, and that's not a reason to get someone off.
No, I understand.
You know, and so you have to be, this is how you be responsible. And if you bleed, now, so I'll leave it at that. Okay.
Judge,
you have to be careful that you don't argue jury nullification, because I think the system is unfair, because I don't like what's going on. I don't care what the evidence is, I'm voting not guilty. But what you can emphasize is, if you've got concerns about the system, and people do, if you don't think it's fair, if you're on the jury, you guarantee that it's going to be fair. Mm-hmm. All you have to do, you know, you're going to get the instructions. If the state hasn't proven it, it's not guilty. If they've proven it, it's guilty. But by you being on the jury, member of the minority community, you're basically guaranteeing fairness.
Jamie,
I think you and Claire Kirkcase and Patrick Thompson have already shown us how do we get the message across that every vote counts. And I don't mean on election day, I mean every vote of those 12 men and women plus a jury. With the work called My Trials that begins, I'd rather be judged by 12, by Claire's piece, Patrick's PSA, we just need to get those on the air and have, oh, and you make more. make that other one about it. It just takes one person to bring justice. But your spoken words are so powerful. I just want to be hearing it more and seeing it in print, and not just on the radio, but as many venues as possible. I'm just a fan of what you, the two of you and Claire have done. I just want to see more of it.
Joan?
I think that the impression you want to give is that each person's voice or participation on the jury is just as important as everybody else. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're young or old, black or white, rich or poor. I mean, you are an equal of every other person on that jury.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think I got an answer. I'm sorry, somebody else says.
You know, it's not just the spoken art. The things that Lorraine brought up at the county board meeting, the sample questionnaires, if they're out prevalently at a table at the North First Street Farmers Market, at CU Days, at the Boys Club, I mean, just so that people get accustomed to seeing those, that was brilliant to think of typing SAMPLE over there, but let's get going. And I guess what we'll have to do is have this report from the effectiveness of the sample at Seat Champion Urbana Days is to either speak with Patricia or Lorraine and hear from them, from someone who was actually there, how it went. So maybe we should keep this on the agenda.
So the samples, you still have, we can get, that's not a hard thing to do, to get sample written across it and give.
No, I have it as the stored file, so we can do it anytime we need.
Okay. Well, I will, as far as work, from the standpoint of our committee, I'll speak to Andre and Dr. Adcock. I wonder if somebody else can pick up some of this. Like, I wrote down, like, Janice Mitchell. Dr. Patterson has the Hip Hop Express thing that he's been doing. And so it's a trailer that sits over on the lot over there by WILL. And he goes to various different venues and sort of records people's thoughts, ideas, spontaneous things about what's happening, historical events and stuff like that. And from this standpoint of this 18 to 35 and the hip hop generation and stuff like that, how to incorporate that in it as well. So I've written that down. So I have Don Moya, Adult Ed, Churches, North First Street Farmers Market, Dr. Patterson, Janice Mitchell with the new center that she has over in Urbana. So I don't think these are very difficult for us to say, hey, you know, Dre, Well, Janice, I'd like for you to put these samples out here for the young people to see them incorporated somehow into some program that you all are doing. I think that would be pretty easy. But just from the question that you asked earlier, we're all still being educated to some degree about this process. So I'm not comfortable just sitting here. I don't think it's as effective for us to just say, here's some samples, tell you, you know, incorporate this in there somehow.
Yeah, what's this?
Right, what is this, right? I mean, so I still want us to be able to do some education around it. And but I'm willing to pick up most of these, but I'm not going to be able to, I don't want to say that I'm going to be able to talk to all of these, and I wanted to see if anybody else was willing to choose one or two of these people that they would reach out to and ask them, could we set up some sort of workshop? Wow, all them hands shot.
I wasn't going to volunteer for that. I was going to ask another question.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't raise my
hand. No. I delegate some responsibilities. Is that how I do this, Chair?
I think, you know, it was the responsibility of communicating this to the community. I'm not saying it should rest with just me and you, but it definitely needs your input as well as my input. But I also think that I know you said Boys and Girls Club or something up, but I'm thinking about the churches, because I know that's where you have 300 or 400 people every Sunday. Lots of people. Do we go to the alliances, or do we talk to the pastors? Do we invite them here to one of our meetings, have a plan, talk with them, maybe get some feedback from them about what they would like for us to give to them so that they can, you know, will they be willing to have this sermon?
So are you willing to reach out to them and just get some, if you want to just ask them what you just said to him about, what is it that they feel like they want or that they would be willing to do?
Well, and that's what I'm trying to, because you got two minister alliances. They all, and I don't know, some of those churches, like the big ones,
they don't, right.
They're not part of that minister alliance. May have one, but the other's not. So that means that we would have to do some personal calling, or talk to the pastor, maybe speak with one of the pastors and find out when do they actually get together so that we can come and talk with them or have something outlined to get to them.
Okay.
And seeing that they would be willing to give this ceremony, because I know at our church it's 200 almost every Sunday. That's a lot of people in that church.
You could invite them to one of our meetings.
Yes.
Know what I mean? And that way they're all here. We can all talk to them. We can kind of throw out our ideas and see what they have to say. Maybe they have some ideas that they have for us, stuff we haven't thought of or whatever.
So are we comfortable then as a group for me to say I'll reach out to all of these folks?
Well,
maybe not all come next meeting. But Dr. Underwood is the president of the Ministerial Alliance, and then I can speak to Bishop Gwynn and Dr. Tatum. I don't know Pastor Savage that well. Maybe you could reach out to him.
I'll talk to Pastor. I'll call my pastor, Pastor Savage, and maybe what about the Reverend Shelby?
Okay, Pastor.
And maybe we could invite them and just have a whole hour where we just be all. We can have a whole hour of just to talk, because they deal with the same population of people we deal with.
Right.
So they're going to know the concerns and asking them how would they engage the church to make sure that their church members are filling them out or contacting the people or letting us know that they had them or they didn't have them, all the issues that we just talked about this evening. I think we need to share them with the pastor, because they are considered the community leaders, and they
Okay. That's what it
means. And tying up with Randy's idea, you could also have it not just necessarily at the same meeting, but a different meeting. Invite the principals from the high schools. Invite the principals from the junior, the middle schools.
It's my turn.
And so what? and do the same thing.
I'm happy to go forward.
Two things. If you get information that any of the ministers are going to be at one of our meetings, I think we should encourage our members to make every effort to be there so that we have a good turnout. The second thing about getting into the schools, we can contact the various high schools in Champaign, Urbana, Rantoul, and offer, if you're available in the mornings, that you and I on given days can go out and make presentations to these kids. Okay. Are you available?
Yeah, I mean, during the day and stuff, it's fine with me. I have to see what my school schedule is going to be.
Right.
But we can work something just like we work with it.
But Roger can get in touch with, you know, we got two high schools in Champaign. I don't know if you want to go to the middle school.
I think high school.
High school, you got Urbana, you got Rantoul. You want to go to any other high schools, but...
Uni High.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Uni.
St. Thomas More, if you want.
Mm-hmm. But that's one of the things that we can do, and when we're on the radio in September, we can sort of say that, you know, we are available if you want us to come and speak to your group or to your class or to your church or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's another way that we can get the word out. That and I'd be willing to do it. I'll make the time if you can go with me.
Yeah, that would be great. Yes, ma'am.
Right. I have a question about the five individuals mentioned: Underwood, Tatum, Wynn, Savage, and Shelby. Do they all belong to the same ministerial alliance, or
no,
different ones?
They belong to different ones, and then they have the minister alliance, and they have the Baptist. You know, it's just a, you know, it's a lot of different.
I'm very well acquainted with some of these individuals, have a passing acquaintance with others, but I believe that we can assume that they understand what the problem is. That we don't have appropriate representation on the part of the minority community, either because people aren't filling out the summons, or when they get the summons, they have some problem that prevents them from acting on it.
Or not getting it.
So, if we set up a meeting that will have the minister's participation, I'm not sure how much background information we need to present to them about what the problems are, or how
that they've got a pretty good idea.
Okay.
I think they're really a key to this, and so I think when you're making calls to them and seeing if they can come to a meeting, if you're getting a feeling from a lot of them, Friday night's not a good night, find out when it's good, and maybe we can coordinate a different time when most of us are available, and it's more accommodating for them.
And even if you want to do it during the day, like you can do it in the courthouse at noontime or whatever, we can make that happen.
Saturday mornings, when one of the ministerial alliances meets.
Okay.
What about Reverend Burks?
Right.
Does he overlap those others, or is on the NAACP?
He's with the... but that's another one. But he's with the Minnesota Alliance. He's a part of the
he's a good contact.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
Well, Salem has Salem has them. Well, Canaan has a big congregation.
What about Reverend Davis? Harold Davis
congregation. Reverend Savage has a big congregation. Alpha Omega has a big congregation.
Well, a lot of those are underneath this. So I know the major ones, and I'll reach out to them. So since nobody volunteered, it looks like I'll be contacting all the people.
I'll contact
Reverend Savage.
Reverend Savage.
And your pastor. And you
my pastor and Reverend Shelby. I'll contact those people.
I volunteered to contact Evelyn Underwood.
Okay.
And just get general ideas of her availability, when she could come and when, or sometimes when she absolutely could not come.
Okay.
I'll do Troy Burks.
Okay.
Who was that?
Troy Burks. Troy Burks.
Okay.
And so I guess we sort of covered some of this under the old business, the PSA. I still haven't gotten a copy of your piece.
I emailed.
Okay. Well, you said you did, or you can't?
I emailed it to the group. Did you guys get it? I think I got it too. Yeah, forward it to the group.
But in order for me to give it to like West, WEFT or WBCP, I have to have a hard copy for them to be
the disc.
Yeah,
disc. Well, it's an MP3, so I would have to. I thought you could done, but I thought you was a music lover, don't you?
No, not me.
I will download it onto a CD and give it to you. I forwarded it to 105.5, so I don't know if they're going to air it or not, because you know that's a real popular hip hop station for the young crowd. I need to follow up and see if that's something they want to do. They don't really do PS, but yeah, unless it's something that they.
But so if I can get that from you, I can definitely get the drop ins on the OWFT, and I talk to Mr. Pirtle, especially if we do something, some paid ads on WBCP. I think we can definitely work in some of the PS.
And we can still do some of the paid ads,
right?
Money in the merit fund. Did you do your public service one yet?
No, I don't have I wanted to do it where. He did his at, and you were supposed to.
It's over at DWS, wasn't it?
WDF.
Yes. He didn't say nothing about that, but the guy, what's his name? I got it. I forwarded his. It's in the email that I forwarded you. It's his contact information, but if not, I will resend it to you again.
Okay.
And it has his contact information in there. So he's very much aware that. You know,
if we want to do it, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And if you work it out, you might be able to do it the same day you and Judge Defonis over there. Anyway.
But if you get it done earlier, we'll
yeah,
get on the air quick.
Yeah,
of course. If you want to get music put behind it.
Because I can just hit you. So, Aaron, what does that mean, Judge by 12? Pump some ice cubes, Jim. Let's see. So, if we can get that done and get them going, and I will think about, like, how do I get it in print. When I start thinking about print, certainly there's a young lady named Tanya Parker who does the Habari Connection, the Unity in Action magazine, and I'll be meeting with her about, she's going to do some coverage on my book that I just released, so I'll be able to talk to her about CACJS and maybe get a sample questionnaire as a page in the Habari Connection or in Unity in Action magazine. Public Eye, that should be pretty easy to get it in there as a sample. But the News Gazette, to run, to do a piece and have a sample in there, you know, maybe Judge Defonis and Roger, y'all can help make that happen.
Maybe Kasich was the wrong person to get a hook into. Maybe Mary Shank would be more apt.
I could ask Mary. She's always.
If we made a portfolio of our writing so far.
She's always around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And see what she thinks.
Yeah, she could come maybe cover something and do a write-up, put the sample questionnaire in there, just so that the visibility of a sample questionnaire. That's what I was thinking about. And having it in writing.
Wasn't he still?
Steve Bauer.
Is Steve Bauer still
there? Oh, yeah, he's still there.
He's still there.
You know, Aaron, once a year, everybody, I'm sorry, when the annual report from the League of Women Voters College of Law annual report, that's usually an opportunity when we're going to get media. There's going to be a press conference, and there will be a front-page story about our issue. This year, that didn't occur because of the problem with getting the statistical analysis, so maybe that's why we feel that we're kind of clawing for some attention in the print media.
So I guess if our hearts and minds are clear on what we have here, we do have. I will be contacting those folks. I would ask that when we speak to the ministers, because it's so many of them, I would first try to, for lack of a better word, press that they make the 5:30 meeting on Friday. Because if we start saying, you know, if it's 15 or 20 of them, we start trying to coordinate all those dates, you know, that's not going to work real well. So if we're really trying to press and ask them to make a sacrifice and come, even if they just stay for half an hour or so, you know, just to come to the meeting, it's once a month, and ask them plenty of time ahead of time to maybe make that, to make the time and the schedule, I think we can make it happen.
We're aiming for a day in September.
And if September is too close, maybe we can ask them that. Is September what's today, the 20th, so we're talking probably September
24th is the Friday. I was thinking that may not be a bad day because you and Judge Bonas will be on the radio.
On the 22nd.
The 22nd, so we can at least get kind of some feedback on that, and that would also give you over a month to get a hold of all these folks, so that's not a bad
thing. So we have a date then, September 24th.
A leftover question about the public service announcement.
Mm-hmm.
For 2 weeks, in Patrick's ad, it's getting a lot of airtime, but I haven't heard it for weeks and weeks and weeks now. And a nice thank you note would be well advised when they agreed to. But have other people heard it recently?
I think they cycle in and out.
No, I haven't heard it.
And they do it at different times, too. Yeah, so if you may be at a later time or whatever.
Otherwise, people start to know and so they come back.
Okay.
And stuff.
So our next meeting is on the 24th at 5:30.
Yep.
Could you do the PSA for the Urbana Public Television?
Huh?
Could you do it, for television, for Urbana Public Television?
We talked about that, but that's probably like 30 minutes.
I'm doing something Monday with Urbana Public Television, and they're amazingly flexible. I said, do you think we can fit this in half an hour? And Jason, the guy that tapes it, says, if it's 37 minutes or 40, it's fine. It's like, you want to do a 3-minute thing, you can just do it. And then they do it again and again.
Okay. How?
You have to tape it between 8 and 5.
Videotape?
Mm-hmm. What?
Videotape.
They videotape
you.
You
do it there.
Well, they have
I've done some audio, but so are you suggesting that it be videotaped?
Yes, that's what I'm suggesting. Mm-hmm.
And you're suggesting 3 minutes of...
Well, however long it takes, 2 minutes, 4 minutes, they don't care.
That was only 30 seconds.
You see, you're working on the radio, right, right, yeah.
And you'd have to probably wear a tie. So.
Yeah, see, I noticed that.
Well, I mean, we could also wait to do that when we get the whole presentation done that we do with the ministerial lines and all that, and that way they can have a full, however long, 30 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minute thing.
Do they ever move their cameras out of their studio?
Yes, they do. We might be able to arrange to have them
come. They can do this.
And do this. When we have the ministers come, we can have it.
I know we're supposed to do this.
Record it.
Videotape, and I have
because this is community and Urbana.
I have a digital camcorder that I could possibly bring, but I would have to sit out to do all the videotaping.
And if we had to set up, I thought about the tripod or something like that, just to have the footage, because then we can...
They like to have
do
their
things
camera.
With the footage, and they like to have their camera. I'm just saying, even from the standpoint of us putting together something, that having the footage is
well, maybe important. Maybe I'll start bringing it, and I have a tripod, and maybe I can start bringing it and just videotaping it. If everybody's okay, I'm going to have to make sure that when I videotape it, I got everybody.
Just talk to my publicist. My press agent to
it's
get that in there.
It's going to be audio.
So if everybody's clear, we have our next meeting scheduled, and the public is clamoring to make some.
So our next meeting is the 24th.
September 24th.
Okay.
So if all hearts and minds are clear.
I had a question.
Yes, ma'am.
It went by earlier, but this meeting. The county board meeting, I thought it was at 7. I arrived at 7. It was over. I met Jenny coming up. It was earlier because it was the committee,
the whole
right?
Right.
But the committees are going to disappear?
Probably,
but not certainly.
Well,
that's my question.
Well, actually, I'd say yes, they are. How's that? They
the
will
county
disappear.
Board members will vote on it.
Yeah, well, they kind of board has voted to get rid of them, but they could come back.
Get rid of the committees?
Yes.
So that puts us in a little bit of a different... That's my question. How are we affected by the fact that our
committees
are getting done?
Well, no, they're still going to have
doing it for
but all 27 board members.
Well, no, actually we won't have them.
You want any committees?
So it'll just be a county board meeting once a month?
No, committee of the whole. It's committee of the whole every time the committee.
It looked like a rugby scrum.
Exactly.
Well, you were there.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this meeting that we just had is over. Y'all can have a good one.
Bye.
This meeting is adjourned. All right.
Thank you.
It's going to be a rugby scrum. I'll hear that on WGWS.
I'm getting registered.
So, you know, I can't get in. It's all up to
you.
And I went to every high school in the county at least once a year. And the teachers appreciate that because it's.